The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw out some water and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Hannah. I'm one of the program directors at Sky Ranch, where, as I said before, there is a lot of snow, and we are busy working, getting ready for summer in our office in Fort Collins. It's great to be with you all today. I'm always impressed by people who come to early service on snowy mornings like these ones. In the story today, we hear about abundance. At a wedding, which was likely BYOB, they have run out of wine. And they have likely run out of wine because Jesus and his friends, who were kind of the wandering nomadic types, did not bring anything to contribute in the first place. Now, Jesus comes through, saving the day, and turns water into wine. Jesus shows overwhelming abundance in everything that he does. At Sky Ranch, we often find ourselves embracing scarcity, the exact opposite of abundance. And usually, this is out of necessity and not choice. For example, we lack cell service, and our internet is incredibly frustratingly slow. Most of our buildings do not have indoor plumbing. Our staff absolutely embrace this scarcity. They revel in the opportunities to put their phones away, and they celebrate days, if not weeks, without showers. Our kitchen is tiny and crowded, especially when you know that there are times when three or four kitchen staff cook for more than 200 people in a single sitting. We still have tents in our backpacking rotation that are older than I am, though probably Joel probably used them when he was a backpacking guide. And some of our vehicles belong in a museum. Yet this scarcity is not what defines Sky Ranch at all. In fact, we find ourselves overflowing with abundance all the time. And in the story today, Jesus doesn't tell us about the abundance and promises of Christ. He shows us. And in the end, this is what camp is all about, doing and showing, not just talking and promising. Everything we do at Sky Ranch, even in the scarcest of situations, is filled with the abundance of Christ. In our wilderness setting with no internet or cell service, we witness children and adults alike connecting with each other on an authentic level. With our simple and rustic facilities, we relish the opportunities to be outside and exploring God's creation. One of our biggest experiences of abundance this summer came on our Thursday night Songfest worship. This night is always a favorite for the kids, who get to crowd into the lodge and sing or shout their favorite camp songs as loudly as they can late into the night. And throughout the week this summer, each cabin learned about bread and baked a loaf of bread from somewhere around the world together. So every day between lunch and dinner, I would walk by the kitchen and witness a cacophony that is a large group of middle schoolers crammed into a small kitchen trying to bake a loaf of bread together. Add in a unique feature of a recipe from Morocco, Cuba, Thailand, Norway, or Kenya, and it is honestly amazing to me that any of this bread is ever edible. But every week, it comes together. Usually, 7 out of the 8 recipes are a success. And every Thursday, each group goes and retrieves their loaf of bread from the kitchen and brings it to worship on Thursday night. When it's time for communion, each group takes their bread and presents it to the common table, taking bread that celebrates diversity from around the world and coming together as one. They sing their favorite camp songs, and then they get ready for what I always expect to be the second most chaotic part of the week, which is children serving each other communion with no order or lines. And every single week, it turns out, it's still chaotic, but it's like a really beautiful, like wonderful chaos. It's a bunch of kids singing songs and dancing and passing around bread and wine and grape juice. It's kids serving one another, some of them barely whispering, some of them shouting the words over the music, some of them not quite remembering the correct words, the body of Christ, given for you. In our teeny, tiny kitchen, where we often complain about how we wish it had air conditioning or how the oven isn't working, our children are baking the body of Christ. I have always thought that this Bible story of turning water into wine was kind of dumb. Like, you can heal sick people and raise people from the dead, and you're wasting your miraculous abilities on turning water into wine? But really, the abundance of Christ is not supposed to be logical or reasonable. If it were logical or reasonable, we would not spend 40 weeks of the year getting ready for 12 weeks of summer camp. College students would not give up lots of opportunity and money at other places to come and work at camp summer after summer. Instead, the abundance of Christ is kind of ridiculous, and it's excessive, and it's outrageous. It's a group of kids who haven't showered in a week, hiking down a trail and singing songs. It's 12 kids crammed into a small kitchen, navigating a Moroccan flatbread recipe. It's a 7-year-old serving communion to her pastor. At camp, we spend a lot of time talking about bringing it down the mountain. It's easy to show and experience this abundance at summer camp, right? That's what it's supposed to be. But it's a lot harder to come back home to your school or to your job or to your congregation and continue to live out this absurd abundance. But that's exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is trying to say when he wastes his time with a ridiculous miracle and turns water into wine and shares it with the whole community. We are called to take these ridiculous experiences of abundance, of 7-year-olds serving pastors communion at camp, and we are called to share these abundant promises of love and grace with our communities and with our world. We are called to share this new life in Christ abundantly, not when it seems logical or reasonable or easy, but especially when it seems excessive or outrageous. Amen.